Hi, and welcome back to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 310. So today we are replaying session 3 of the Outsourcing Summit 2020. The Outsourcing Summit had 6 sessions, and we are replaying session 3 for you today. In this session, we are taking a guided tour around an outsourcing facility. It is called CloudStaff. They have over 2,500 staff. And the founder and CEO is Lloyd Ernst. We will be having an interview with Lloyd, and then he'll be giving us a guided tour around his facility. And we discuss everything about offshore staffing, and we explore hacks and tricks and insights to ensure that outsourcing works for you and your business. Of course, there are video versions of this available. If you do want to go to our website, you can check out the full Outsourcing Summit 2020 replay. It's available in video, but I have listened to this through, and actually it's really valuable listening, and you do pick up a lot of the value by listening to the audio of the tour. So if you're happy with audio and you enjoy podcasts, then please listen on. In the upcoming episodes, we will be doing 2 more guided tours. And then in the 6th session of the Outsourcing Summit, we have all of the CEOs of the BPOs come together for the final panel. So do tune in for those. So if you want to see the Outsourcing Summit, go to outsourceaccelerator.com. If you want any of these show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. Okay, so welcome to the 3rd session. This is the first of 3 BPO tours that we're doing in this summit. And yes, I'm wearing a mask. Yes, I've just been sprayed with alcohol. And you know, there's a huge number of precautions that are being taken during this process. And of course, we're all faced in this crazy world of COVID. So we are in the 3rd session, and I'm going to attempt to do a 45-minute live session, and we are also attempting to make an office interesting for you. So there's some record-breaking feats here that we're going to do tonight. It's 1 a.m., and we are in Pampanga, which is about 40 miles north of Metro Manila, or 40 miles north of Manila. So it's super close, and it is it's a secondary destination and a huge outpost for global outsourcing. As you can see, this is a huge facility that we're in, and we are going to meet the CEO, founder, and owner of that in a minute, and he's going to show us around. So today already, hopefully, you know, you've enjoyed and learnt a little bit from the 2 panels of the experts, the industry experts. And now in this session, we hope to give you first-hand experience and view of inside a BPO. Now, certain aspects of it, it's just an office, so what? But, you know, there's valuable insight here into seeing really how an outsourcing operation works, what it's like in the Philippines, and the fact that, you know, this is now 1 a.m. in the middle of the night and everything is alive and happening. So let's meet Lloyd. He is the founder and CEO of CloudStaff. Hi, Lloyd.
Derek, good morning, in fact.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me here.
Welcome to CloudStaff and welcome to our first class lounge. It's great to have you here.
Looks fantastic. Good. Should we go through?
Let's have a chat. We have an interesting story about one of the comments people ask is, you know, why do we have first class lounges? So we're required to have sleeper rooms or bunk rooms. Because we have people finishing shifts and they might need to have a break beforehand and those sort of things. So I really didn't want to, when we built the office, put those sort of bunk rooms in. And so we decided to put sleeper seats in, like that you'd have in a first class airline. And so we built sleeper rooms with the full electric chairs inside there. And I thought, if we're building the if we're putting that in place, let's build a first class lounge as well. So, and the idea behind these lounges is that the staff, that you can't have a meeting here. Any of the staff are welcome to use them. And you sit down, you can have a chat, you have a coffee, and it's worked really well. Of all, one of the things that we've done, this has worked really well, because, you know, normally you sit in a meeting room and you have a bit more, it's a bit formal, and here you come and you chill out a bit. It's like you're sitting, waiting for your plane, and you're having a cup of coffee, and you just chilled out. So it works really well.
And it feels really first class. Is this for just executives or?
No. This is for all staff. They're welcome to come and use the rooms as they're required. And as I said, they're kind of in use 24 hours a day.
Fantastic. And as you said, there's sleeper rooms. Normally, of course, you know, we're in a very different time now with COVID. But everything is provided with that.
Absolutely. Here. And as I said, you know, these businesses, we just run 24 hours a day. You know, everything is always there. At 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, there are sales people here, there's accounts people here, there's legal people. It just runs. In fact, most of my day starts normally at about midnight, and then I kind of work through to about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So, but that's normal. You know, the country has 1.4 million people that work in the BPO sector, and over half of those people work this shift. So, you don't have to feel uncomfortable about this is just how business works here.
Yeah, it is very much the normal, isn't it? So, Lloyd, thank you very much for your time. And of course, we are going to have a look around your office, your facility. We're going to meet some of those staff that you mentioned. We're going to have a talk to people, real people on the ground, and get their insights and experience. First of all, can you just introduce yourself and a little bit about the story of CloudStaff?
Sure, no problems. So CloudStaff, so we have 2,500 staff. We operate in four regions, and we have about 10 offices in those four regions. We're a little bit different from the large BPOs in that my customers are a small to medium enterprise. And they'll have anywhere from two or three seats up to maybe a couple of hundred, but that would really be about the maximum. You know, we don't do work for Dell or Citibank or any of those sort of big guys, so we're not that classic call center. And when you look at the sort of businesses that we have and the work and the cloud staffers that they engage, they're doing it's all across the board, you know, from accountants to designers through to developers to customer service people, e-commerce agents. It really just blows me away the roles and the industries that we deal with. But we'll take you for a little bit of a tour through there, and a lot of our business has been driven by the cloud, and so we started here in about 2009 with seven staff. We still have, of those seven staff, still have five of them working with us today, which is kind of amazing. But our business has been built by the cloud. And it was really interesting because when you're dealing with small to medium enterprises, everybody used to have the file server or the Microsoft Small Business Server sitting inside their office. And that was your file server, and it had your Word documents on and your Excel files and your accounting. And everything ran inside that office on the on-premise server. And when you wanted to start to, you know, move people, either people working from home or working in an overseas center like CloudStaff, it was very difficult to make that work from a technology point because you had to have an internet connection and VPNs and everything like that. Anyway, about 5 years ago, everything started moving to the cloud. You know, everyone took that file server and said, no, I'm going to move to Office 365, Google Docs, I'm going to move to Salesforce. And when they've made that change from on-premise to cloud, it's opened up the opportunity for where their staff are based. So you no longer had to have staff sitting inside the office. They can be sitting at home, or they can be sitting in India or the Philippines or South America.
We don't want to go too much into a history lesson, but you know the origins of offshore staffing was really the big call centers and very much American call centers servicing big American corporations, big enterprise. And with that, I think there's a little bit of a hangover from the call center industry. There was a lot of basic customer service, a lot of high repetition jobs, but it's really changed since
it's changed because the technology barrier has actually gone. You know, we now have small to medium enterprises that are, as I said, that are doing such a breadth of work that's being done here, and partly, you know, it's been driven by the fact that, you know, people just don't have time. You know, it's not just the cost of the staff, it's the cost of managing and looking after the staff. And one thing that's happened over the last few years in businesses all around the world is when someone's left, the mantra's been, oh, we've just got to share the work around, we've got to do more with less and stuff like that. And people become so busy that they don't get to focus on the business. You know, they're sitting there doing this basic work. And so as everything's moved to the cloud, that's now given the ability to be able to put in place a workforce which is distributed around the globe, and our job is really about freeing up the time. You know, I like to talk about our why statement as to why we go up, why are we doing this? It's about helping businesses grow, and that's what we do. And to be able to help businesses grow, you know, you've got to help obviously reduce their labor costs, but you've also got to reduce the time they spend managing the staff and provide them sales tools and those two tools to help them grow as well.
And just as a bit of a 101 orientation to what outsourcing is, can you describe what outsourcing is? It's no longer the big call centers. How does it work? How does a company engage with your company and get work done?
So a lot of the classic term BPO meant business process outsourcing. And that was taking a task clearly defined and then sort of moving that off to an offshore team and having all the metrics around that. The problem is that's a very, very, very narrow focus. And so what you would tend to find is you might have a team of 30 people all doing one thing, big boards, KPIs, flashing lights, etc. But the sort of customers that we deal with, you know, my customers want one staff member doing 30 things. And so, you know, that you need a different type of staff person there to be able to drive that. And so we tend to find that, you know, our customers have full control of the process. If I was to go to my customer to say, this is how you need to do the process, and we obviously can help along the way, everybody, you know, their secret sauce in a lot of cases is how they do this. And so we don't sit there and try to run all that show. We give them, we provide the resources, but they get to control every element of that delivery, so it's done to their standards and the way they want to do it, and that's part of their secret sauce.
So it's a bit of it's co-parenting, and in terms of the operations, in terms of managing the individual, what they do, the task, the output, the quality, it's really just like traditional employment, except they're sitting in a different room.
Absolutely, and we try to help with a whole lot of tools that actually make that work. And we also have a team of people called success pilots who help do the training and the onboarding. Some of our customers, you know, they need they're after us to help guide them and do that onboarding processes. Other customers have a fairly sophisticated process structure already, and so, you know, they don't need quite as much. But that's kind of what our model is about, giving the businesses control so that they can tweak the levers any way they like.
So this is what I think both you and I are really excited about. There is the first wave was the big multinationals, because as you said, like, servers were expensive. It was, you know, there was a huge barrier to the infrastructure that you needed. Now everything is in the cloud. Most people, as we know now, are working remotely.
Yep.
And so it sort of opens up this huge opportunity for small and medium-sized businesses across the globe to access highly affordable, highly capable, highly qualified staff. What sort of staff are available here? And what are the sort of common roles that you would suggest people look into or start with for their business?
So look, when you start, you know, our recommendation is you want the low-hanging fruit, because, you know, there's still a learning process involved with this. You're dealing with people that are going to be 5,000 miles away, then they're going to be 12 hours at a time zone. So, you know, choose the roles so accounting roles, back office roles, the roles where the processes are reasonably well defined, because you need that easy win, that low-hanging fruit. And then what we tend to find is our customers grow in two dimensions. The first one is that they may start off with a couple of bookkeepers or a couple of accountants, and then they'll say, look, this is great, it's working, I want to add another two accountants or another three accountants. So they add the capacity. And then they'll say, I've got some accountants, now I want to add some desktop support people, or maybe some developers, or some designers, or some creative people. And so they expand capability-wise. Most of our customers are running two or three capabilities at least in the teams that they build here. And when I take you around the office, I'll show you that, you know, all the customers have their own little office, and inside that, you know, they'll have their SEO person, their marketing person, their accountants, everyone like that. So everyone's in their own little office.
And in terms of the skills available, there's really no limit. I suppose just to cover the basics, this is an English-speaking community. The Philippines has incredible sort of English understanding, penetration, cultural alignment to the US. And then, you know, there's 700,000 graduates every year, and they're coming out in all of these skills and professions that we need to help run our businesses.
English is ingrained in the whole culture here. When the Americans took over from the Spanish, they sent a boat of 104 English teachers, and that was part of their process. And so, you know, all the legal the legal system operates in English inside here, and so it really is an ingrained sort of capability as a part of all the stuff. You know, we view the Philippines as the English center of Asia.
Where would you suggest people start if people are, you know, and how does it differ from Upwork, Freelancer, the sort of the kind of Tim Ferriss, for want of a better word, the Tim Ferriss-esque kind of freelancing that people are more familiar with?
The problem, and I was always a fan of Upwork and Freelancer when we first started the business. I kind of thought that would be our model. But one of the problems you find is that, you know, you want the staff to develop domain knowledge around you and your business and your processes and how you do things. And when the staff don't turn up or disappear, and we've all had that experience with these online sites where you've got a great person, then all of a sudden they're gone and you can't contact them or reach them. And so with Cloud Staff, you know, all our customers, you know, they have dedicated resources. You know, the people aren't shared with other customers. They don't jump ship. They don't move to other customers. This is about building your team, and you develop that relationship with them, and you get to, you know about their families and their kids and all that sort of stuff that goes along with it. And so, you know, you really have to think of this as this is your office here in the Philippines.
And I imagine, just as you've had staff right from the beginning, some of your clients have had staff right from the beginning, and that's where the real power comes in, is because they just become a part of the organization as any employee is in your organization back in the US.
It's really interesting. We have one of our customers, and they have about 80 or 90 accounting staff onshore, and then they've got about another 80 or 90 accounting staff with Cloud Staff. And one of the comments they made was that they live in a nice coastal area near the beach and stuff like that. And so they were finding that their onshore staff, there was a little bit of churn, you know, maybe a couple of people every month decided that they were going to head off down the Caribbean and tour around South America or do those sort of things. And so I was chatting them, and I said, after the first year, how was it going? They said, look, the team at Cloud Staff's been really good. But what we haven't realized is because we have more staff turnover in our onshore team than our offshore team, that all the domain knowledge is actually now hosted at Cloud Staff. So we're now finding that when people come along and they say, how do I do this process? Oh, talk to Jane at Cloud Staff. You know, she knows how it's done. And so one of the things that you find here is in our Cloud Staff particularly focuses on reducing that churn. And so you get people and they keep that domain knowledge, and they just know how to do the stuff. And it's so invaluable, that domain knowledge. And the cost of staff churning or moving, you know, it just sets you back. You lose momentum, it costs you time, and it costs you money.
And it's so simple, isn't it? And sometimes I think people aren't aware just how simple it is. These are basically, to the business owner, these are your employees, but they're just really, it's you facilitate that employment, give them the support, the environment, the onboarding that they need. But then they are, you know, effectively as one with the
clients. They're employed by Cloud Staff, and we look after all the HR, the operational, the tax issues, and everything like that. and you get to focus on just getting the pure output out of the staff there.
And so just give us a recap. I would love to have a look around. Just give us a recap in terms of the numbers you've got here. This is no small business, is it?
No, we have about 2,500 staff. Pre-COVID, we were adding about 170 new staff every month, so the industry is going quite quickly. COVID came along, and that number has stalled a little bit, but we're back now at that 150, and this month we'll probably do about 200 staff. So people are now starting to realise that, you know, how to deal with the world post COVID, and we're now starting to see that growth kind of return there. And as I said, for all our customers, it's not about, you know, moving jobs offshore. It's really about freeing up the time of the people who create value inside your business, so they can focus on the business and not have to sit there and do all the manual work themselves.
Great. So let's have a look around. I want to discuss COVID with you. I want to discuss, you know, all of the programs you have here, and we're also going to have a chat to a few of your team here. So
Great. Let's have a look through. So I'll just come out this way. So one of the things about cloud staff is that all of our customers, we tend to have everyone has their own kind of business suite, and so in these business suites you will set up your branding and all those sort of things. And in fact, if I go across here. If I just go through and tap my phone on the code here, all the customers can also set up all the details such as the security. And so all of our customers tend to be a little bit different. And so on site here, I can see that the customer, for instance, you know, do they allow visitors in their suite? Do they allow pets in the suite? Do they allow, you know, children of the staff to come and visit? And allowing pets into the suite may sound like a crazy system. But we have customers who provide pet accessories into the North American market. And part of the requirement, they said, is like, it's important for us that the staff are able to bring their pets, and once a week, they can bring their pet in. So as long as it's not an Alsatian, you know, we don't mind, but this is about customers being able to bring their own culture inside here as well. So we're also and customers will also specify, you know, whether mobile phones are allowed in the business suite or whether they need to be in their lockers and those sort of things. So customers get to specify that. Also on the phone here, this is where the staff can go through. If they have problems and those sort of things, they just go through and touch the screen here.
And so this is an app. This is a cloud staff app, which basically manages the entire ecosystem.
It manages everything. So what you tend to find in Asia is that the mobile phone is ubiquitous. Everyone has a mobile phone, and it's always got data, and it's always on. And so everything that we do inside here, if you've got a technical problem, we use what's called one-touch support. I can go through here. I've got a headset problem. Just touch the button here, put all the details through, and away it goes. So everything can be done from the mobile phone there.
Fantastic. And in terms of each of the offices, now, of course, these have always been available, but with COVID, the move now, and you're adapting, is to smaller units, smaller offices, so that, of course,
absolutely. As we walk through, the next floors that we build out are all 6 to 8 people business suites. And if you have, you know, 60 people, you just have 10 business suites that are joined together. Each business suite has its own independent air conditioning, their own sort of, water source inside there, those sorts of things. And we also have taken and gone are the days of the big open floor plans, and so, you know, we've started breaking everything down into these smaller offices, and you know, the staff like the fact that, you know, they get to call this home, and you get to do your branding, you know, said if you want to put in a pinball machine or all that sort of stuff, you know, you've got the flexibility to be able to do this is kind of your office in the Philippines.
And these are fun, happy, bright environments that people enjoy coming to.
Absolutely, yes.
Great. So I think now we're going to have a chat to Mark. Hi, Mark. Sorry, Lloyd. Hi.
Hello.
Derek, how are you? And can you tell us a little bit about, so you work with cloud staff. Can you tell us a little bit about your role here?
Absolutely. So I work in sales, so I help contribute towards business development here at cloud staff.
Great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And so you would be communicating with US clients that are exploring outsourcing.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about What is the process? Do people necessarily know what outsourcing is, or is it kind of an education process?
Yeah, I could say that there is kind of like an education process, and normally we try to, of course, well, first we tell them about the advantages and disadvantages. Some of, I guess, the people that we get to come across has a different conception of what outsourcing really is. Mm-hmm. So I guess as a salesperson to cloud staff, that is kind of like, you know, the value that we try to provide. So we walk them through the process of how we could actually help them on building an effective team here in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is a bit of that in the process.
And what are some of the common roles or issues that people come to you to help them with?
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Well, first off, you'd find that the platform that we have is very dynamic, so we could actually cater to any kinds of any different industries out there. But most of, I guess, the most in-demand roles that we get to hear from our clients are, you know, the back office, the typical admin stuff. We do a lot of creative and development, and surprisingly enough, we get a lot of requests from development.
Right.
So yeah.
And you know, this is 1 a.m. now. The office is, of course, a lot more quiet than normal because of COVID, but it's normal to work through the night in the Philippines?
Oh yeah, especially here in the Philippines. I guess it's the culture aspect. You'd find that Filipinos actually prefer to work nights because, you know, they're very family oriented, and, you know, having that, you know, daytime, they get to spend more time daytime with their families. So yeah, you'd get to find that people actually prefer working nights.
I just like the fact that at 8 o'clock in the morning you get to have a beer downstairs. So.
And in terms of your career, then, you know, is outsourcing, has that been your career path?
Yes, ever since, actually, I started out right after college. I've actually started working for a BPO company. Cool. And I guess I don't have something of a crystal ball, but I do think that outsourcing is the future. So and right now, I could tell you, we're thriving as a business, and we find that with what's happening, people or businesses overseas are now leaning towards having a global workforce, and I'm just glad to be part of it and helping these businesses grow.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Good to meet you. Right. And I think now we're going to have a chat to Louis. We're going to have a chat to a couple more people. Lloyd's going to show us around the facility more. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
My name's
Derek. Louis, can you, what do you do here at CloudStaff?
I'm actually a team lead. I'm handling Transact. It's a logistic company from North American company. And I'm also a member of Team Champ. It's mm-hmm. a program where we assist solo duo accounts. We help and coaches those new hires as well, and to make sure that they are calibrated with the policies and procedures of CloudStaff.
Okay, great. And so your client is it's a US client, and they are getting their work fulfilled by, they're effectively their staff, but just sitting here in the Philippines.
Yeah, they're actually very happy with what we're doing right now, especially we deal with logistics, especially during this pandemic. Mm. Logistics is very important, and we make sure that all deliveries or shipments are delivered on time. So, and they are very happy of what we're doing here.
And can you give an idea in a like what your team might do? Are they? I can't imagine even what would be involved in running a logistics business.
What we normally do is we monitor the shipments from the pickup point up to the delivery. So we make sure we create the shipments as well, and we want to make sure that all deliveries are on time. Let's say if there's an issue or delay, we need to make sure that we call the carriers and tell them to deliver those shipments, especially, you know, during this pandemic. All deliveries are very important.
Of course.
And Derek, one of the things that we do with some of our customers is Louis, for instance, is armed with a laptop and internet connection at home, and so is able to sort of operate. We have a system called Office Flex, and I can operate from the office or operate from home, depending upon what's required, and that's part of our BCP plan, and which BCP means business continuity planning. And, you know, so we think that is definitely, you know, a part of the solution or the mix moving forward, making sure staff have that flexibility.
Okay, great. Should we thank you so much, Louis?
Thank you.
Cool. And so, you know, the office, I think we're going to have a look.
Yeah, I was going
to. What have we got over here?
Downstairs, we have what's called the vault. So so if we go downstairs, which we're not allowed to go down at the moment.
So through these doors, there's elevators down.
That takes us to an area called the vault. And this is an area which is PCI compliant. And in fact, it exceeds PCI compliant. When you go down there, no pens, no papers, no mobile phones, walk through metal detector, pat down, those sorts of things. So down there, we're doing work which is quite sensitive. Up here, some of the staff have mobile phones at their desk. But that's partly the customer sets that security policy. Downstairs, the customers have said, look, we need to do know your customer work, or we're doing insurance broking or mortgage broking. And so we have a higher level of security required. So that's how we control that element of it. So
And the US has some of the strongest regulations in the world, you know, and rightfully. And all of those regulations are abided by here to the same level, so that work can be carried out at the same level of security.
It's different customers have different requirements. You know, I've got customers who, you know, we need to have mobile phones. We need to be on Facebook. We need to be doing that sort of stuff. And then we have, of course, downstairs where, you know, customers after the highest level of security that's available, which includes, you know, being able to audit the PCs and all those sort of things on a regular basis.
And of course, it's tailoring the solution to the requirements.
Each customer is different. If you try to tell everyone to do it, this is the way to do it, then, you know, people go, well, you know, no, I really want to be able to, I need to do it my way.
And what are some examples of what happens down there? Is it medical records? Or?
There is. Processing of credit cards, taking orders over the phone. Being able to do a KYC, know your customer background checks for banking style customers, and also some collections work as well down through there as well.
And so is it right that commonly, you know, down there are effectively dummy servers, is that right? And they wire back to or whatever sort of
Everything we do is on the cloud. PCI compliance means that we have separate data rooms for each of the rooms down there, separate cabling, separate racks. Everything is all segmented per customer basis. So, you know, the last thing you want is someone coming through and pulling out a switch somewhere and plugging it in and affecting network security.
And again, these are all incredible facilities, you know, multi-million dollar facilities, and people can plug into your facilities, your experience, you know, effectively like a cloud service for just one seat.
Absolutely. You know, some of our customers have one or two seats, other customers, you know, could have a couple of hundred. And as I said, you know, when you look through the offices here, you know, we tend to have each customer likes to have their own office because it gives them that sense of ownership with the staff as well.
Fantastic. And where do you see the future of work? Obviously, we've gone through a crisis now. The world is heading into a recession.
Yep.
Is work from home the new norm? Is a hybrid the new norm?
I think it's a hybrid. That's why we've created the Office Flex solution, which gives us the ability to be able to have customers utilize. As part of this process, some of our customers have said, look, you know, our customers in North America, our staff are all working onshore. And so, you know, we want to have our team at CloudStaff to work at home as well. And so there's cost savings associated with that. So
everything is a custom product, really, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
Community is a big thing for Filipino workers. Yep. You know, I think people are sometimes concerned about the ethical situation. Are people being treated well here? But I think you can see that there are five-star facilities here. You are fairly famous for your Christmas parties. And what else do you do in terms of the community?
We have a program called Building the Number One Workplace in the Philippines, because we want to attract the very best talent that's available there, and to be able to sort of look after them. I started off originally working with Microsoft back in the early days of the computer industry, and you know, you really want to be able to have an experience for the staff. And so I need to be able to attract the best talent, because that's what my customers are looking for.
What can you say to the community and the culture of the Philippines? How is it similar to, and how is it different to the US?
God number one, family's number two, employment's number three. So, you know, we've had to build, you know, family-friendly environments inside here. So, you know, we have sort of kids' creches where the kids can come and work, and the kids come and play. Sorry, they're not doing data entry work just yet. But you need to embrace that as part of your culture. So that's where we've got the stuff through there.
Yeah. So, what have we got coming through?
So talking about toys, we are also one of the largest Segway companies in the Philippines as well. Thank you very much. The button we pushed before for the tech support.
I think we're going to go and have a chat to Nika down here. We're just going to see a little bit more. But then I want to have a talk to you about the nuts and bolts, you know, get an idea of costing, the price structure, and get an idea in terms of salaries and how the pricing works. So we'll have a chat about that in a minute. I think we're going to just have a chat to Nika here now.
Nika, your headset has arrived.
Yes. Nika. Thank you. Hello.
Hi, Nika. Hi. Derek. Hello.
Hi, Derek. How are you? Nice to meet you.
So, Nika, can you introduce yourself, if you don't mind? So you work for Cloud Staff?
Yes, I work for Cloud Staff. My name is Nika. I'm a training officer for our team. I've been here for more than 2 years now, probably, to say that.
Congratulations.
Yes, and do you want to know what I do?
I would love to.
All right, so I'm the training officer. I ensure that our newbies are onboarded properly, so mm-hmm. there should be a proper transition. Aside from that, I also create training content to upskill and make sure that they have, you know, good communication skills and leadership skills. And I also act like the liaison officer. So what does that mean? I ensure that there's a streamlined operations in our department on a daily basis.
So when people start working for Cloud Staff and they're to be allocated to a client for a role, bring them into the company and effectively show them the ropes in terms of the company, the processes and things like that.
Absolutely, exactly, that's what I do. And aside from that, if the clients need more training for their staff, and then we help them do that. Maybe accounting, development, and whatnot.
You do the servant leadership training at the moment, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for reminding me. Yes, we do have the servant leadership training, wherein we want our staff to lead by example. Like, our leaders should have that mindset, you know, the inverted triangle, that, you know, the leaders are here for their staff, not the other way around.
Right. Yeah. So it's about teaching management philosophies, it's about teaching professionalism, and how staff can develop themselves and their profession so that they can progress in the world.
That's correct, yep.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And what's an example of someone that you've seen really change over?
My own teammates, because I'm kind of like the right hand of our manager. So I've seen that we have developed them into communications professional. This includes our 24/7, a team boss, you're one of your favorite teams here at Cloud Staff. We've seen that they're more confident now when they're talking to not just Cloud Staffers, but even outside Cloud Staff. They help our sales team get leads, and then they also help our recruitment team to get more people to join our family here.
What do you say to the confidence thing, actually? Because Filipinos, quite commonly, they can be a little bit subdued, a little bit quiet. And then when they have to communicate directly to foreign or US clients, they can be a little bit intimidated. What do you say to that? Do you sort of encourage them to come out and be a little bit more confident?
Yes, we actually have a training for that, to help them to be more confident. We have business English and professional language. And then we can also offer consultation if they want to. Like, we can do one-on-one training and so on. So what do we do? How do we encourage them? We just remind them that, you know, being confident about the skill set. If you have the skill set, if you're doing the right thing, then you shouldn't be afraid in, you know, speaking up.
So all of these facilities are here. This is all plug and play. It's a standard sort of service in terms of the onboarding. All of this is included in the package. And then as well, they can dial up any extra attention if they need to.
Yes, we can even personalize training if they want to. They can just talk to our team anytime. Yep.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
And then, Lloyd, I think we're... what have we got here?
This is our radio station. Would you like to have a look?
Sure.
Okay, Jude, how's it going? Hey, so guys, so Derek, we have a radio station. And when we first started building the company, one of the things that we found was that we were getting some fragmentation. We had this office versus that office, etc. And so we put together a radio station. It runs 24 hours a day. The staff can tune into it, where we have some of the staff that are working in the secure environments. You know, there's no phones, there's no music. They can't go to YouTube. They can't listen to anything like that. They're just sitting there processing away. So the radio station beams inside there, so the staff can tune in on their headset. They can sort of message the DJs and put song requests on and those sort of things as well. The staff can also tune in. There's a Cloud Staff app that the staff can connect with and listen to the music as well on their mobile phone as well.
And it just helps build that community.
It brings the whole company together, and it works really well. Thanks, Jude. Have you got a favorite song?
I can't think of any when you put me on the spot, Loder.
Okay.
We'll choose your song.
AC/DC later.
AC/DC. Great Australian classic. So Lloyd, we're running out of time. I think you've got a loyalty program here as well.
Sure, okay,
It keeps on giving, doesn't it? It keeps on giving.
So again, it's part of our sort of technology platform, mobile first. So we have a system called Dream Cards and Dream Points, and I've got 42,000 points. But what happens is customers are allocated points every month, and they can then allocate those points based upon KPIs to the staff. So, you know, if staff have done well, you can get some more points. And then the staff can then go on here and they go to our Bid Hero site, and they can then sort of bid on old PCs or sort of bags of rice or spam or anything like that inside it. So that's part of the engagement process. So you attend training, you get dream points. You get dream points from your customers. You have perfect attendance, you get dream points and those sorts of things.
So it's a globalized system that can just help people align with the mission.
It works very well, yeah. No, it's great. And so everyone here loves their loyalty cards, their frequent flyer points, and it works really well for us.
Great. Right. So let's get down to nuts and bolts. How does pricing work for this model? There seems so much included, you know?
So at a model's transparent. So there's two parts. There's what we call the employee direct costs. If you come to the Philippines, set up your own office and employ people, you know, if you want staff, this is what you pay for them because this is what you pay locally. So the employee direct cost is their salary, their tax, their HMO, social club, those sorts of things.
So that's all the localized salary.
And that's passed on, and there's no margin inside there. As I said, you know, if you were to come here and set up a business, that's what you would have to pay. Mm-hmm. And then there is a second part, which is the Cloud Staff fee. And that will vary from anywhere from $300 or $400 US up to about $700 US, depending upon, you know, office flex and whether you want people working from home in the office and you want to have a laptop or a desktop PC, etc. So the model really is very transparent. And the thing that I really love about this model is that when the staff add more value to the customer, when the staff get more skills and can do more, and you look at the staff and go, well, look, you know, they're Jane's worth another $50 a month or something like that, 100% of that goes to the staff. You know, I don't make any margin on that. You know, we are a high volume, low margin business. And so, you know, we really want to make sure that we continue to sort of, you know, serve customers so that they get the value that they create with the staff, they get to unlock.
And again, the beauty, and I think it takes reminding people out there that, sure, you can get VAs, you can get administrators, you can get data clerks, but you can just as easily access the best professions in the world here. You know, data scientists, you know, what is there?
We have nurses that work for legal firms in New Jersey, and they're checking the medical records of customers who have had accidents. We have accountants working for accounting firms in Chicago. We have insurance assessors working for people in Los Angeles. We have it. We have people that design platforms that connect bridges together in Texas and those sorts of things. So it's just so diverse and across the board. It is It's just kind of amazing.
And you're only limited by your imagination, really. And would you suggest that people just start with one role and then expand from there?
Absolutely. You need, if this is the first time you've worked with an offshoring and outsourcing model, you need a win. You need to pick the low hanging fruit, because you know, otherwise you're just not, you can take, you know, there is still a learning curve which is involved with this. So take a process and get it up and running, and then once you've got that up and running, then you add the next role or the next process. The other thing I would point out is choose roles where there is no single point of failure. You know, if you're going to kick off with some back office work or some accounting work, make sure you put two people there, because you know, you want to make sure that if there was a problem with one staff member, that you haven't lost all that domain knowledge. So no single point of failure. Choose the low hanging fruit to actually kick it off. And then, you know, don't be afraid to then expand and add some other roles there. You know, this is about giving you flexibility in your business. You can ramp up, you can ramp down. We make that easy. We take the risk away. Mm. You know, it's risk-free, it's frictionless, and you get all the, you know, the benefit from the value which is created.
And just give us a quick insight. Now, of course, all of this is on the website. All the references are out there. Nothing is, you know, everything is completely transparent. But just give us a quick glimpse at some salary ranges for entry level.
So if you were looking for entry, so back office people who are processing sort of applications or anything like that, you know, their employee direct costs could be around about $600 US a month. You know, if you want someone who's a mid to senior level CPA, you know, doing bookworking or management accountants, you know, they could be $1,200 to $1,500 US a month. You know, if you want a .NET developer with 10 years experience, you know, you're probably paying $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Generally, it's called the rule of three. So, you know, you tend to find you can get three staff here for the same cost that you could in an onshore environment. And of course, you know, there's no parking or office space or anything like that to take care of. You know, we take care of all that for you.
And of course, you know, it's difficult to hire people, employ people in the US. There's a lot of regulation. You've got to provide office, you've got to provide laptops. All of that is done for people.
Absolutely.
With these services, it's completely turnkey. But also, when they buy into CloudStaff, they buy into all of your executive experience, your years of business experience, obviously all of the experience of all the trainers. They get all that infrastructure.
Absolutely. And you know, that is also part of the story, is that, you know, we do have the experience there, and we recommend to customer that this is how you should put it together, because you know, obviously we want to make sure that everyone has a successful experience with that. And so part of that is us, you know, making sure that we make it as frictionless as possible.
And now, you know, we want to encourage everyone to start outsourcing today. Start your journey with outsourcing today. You don't have to outsource, but I think you owe it to yourself and your business to explore this incredible opportunity to build, rebuild, or adapt your company in this tough time that we're going through. So we are encouraging everyone to take action today. There is the sales page on the website, and you are offering a Kickstarter program.
We've got a Kickstarter program, and new customers can get up to $1,500 credit off sort of the services to be able to get them up and running. And of course, you know, we're here 24 hours a day, and you know, we're always happy to talk and share experiences with everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Lloyd.
Thanks, Derek.
And now, guys, this is session 3. This is the first BPO tour. We're now going to the next BPO. So check the time there. The schedule is there on the dashboard. And please join me at the next outsourcing service provider. It's going to be another fantastic tour. We're going to have another Kickstarter package. Again, it will be valuable for you to compare and contrast and just get this first-hand view and experience of what it's really like in an outsourcing facility such as this, and how it can benefit you and your business. So thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so that was session 3 of the Outsourcing Summit 2020. There are 3 more sessions to come. As I mentioned there, we are doing 2 more BPO tours, and then we get the CEOs back into the studio so we can explore outsourcing in more detail with them. If you want any of the show notes, as always, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. If you want to watch any of the summit videos, go to outsourceaccelerator.com and there are links there on the homepage. And as always, if you want to send us any questions, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.